This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Well, one thing I've learned, my friends, is nobody knows anything when it comes to prognostication of this great game of baseball. We were just in here chopping it up. By the way, we're halfway home on a Monday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. I'm Woodsy, that's Paul, that's Ben. You know, you can look at everything and say, well, it's going to be rough in 5 years. You don't know. You don't know what kind of prospects will come through. You don't know what kind of I mean, none of us expected Jackson Merrill to be really what Jackson Merrill was this season. And you need some of those guys to hit, literally hit, and figuratively as well.
Counterpoint, they could get five Jackson Merrills in the next 5 years, and you're still going to be paying like $30, $40 million to guys that are
older,
pushing 40.
Sure, which is not super uncommon. And you can find that on championship teams. It does exist. You know, and it's going to be interesting. I'm really curious as to what AJ has to say today. You know, I don't know why. I've been covering AJ Preller a long time. I don't think we're going to get any huge platitudes or plans or anything like that. But it is nice to hear from leadership, you know, after what ended up being a pretty disappointing end to a really fun and inspiring season. But like they say, man, if you don't win the last one, nobody cares, you know. The Yankee season really will be for naught if they don't win, and the Dodgers season will also be for naught if they don't win. I mean, that's 2-1 seeds right there. So 2-1 seeds, top five payrolls, going head-to-head. If you don't win it, it's a disappointment in my book.
Yeah, I mean, it could go seven games. It could be back and forth. Haymakers on both sides. Tied 5-5 in the 12th inning of game seven. Someone is going to end their season disappointed.
And you know what? I don't even know. I literally have no feel on how this is going to go. I really have no feel whatsoever on how this series is going to go. And that's the postseason every year kind of teaches you. You really don't know. You don't know what to expect. The Dodgers had no pitching, but now look how good their pitching is. You know, look how good that bullpen has been. The Yankees have done it with contributions from guys that didn't contribute much in the regular season. So it's just a total, I don't like the word crapshoot for it, because these are two really good teams with great players. Can the stars be stars? Let's see. They're both laden with star players, and we'll see who's better. I'm glad that you know these two teams are going to square off. If it's not my team, I want to see these two teams square off and see who can land the biggest blow.
So before we move on, I do have this question to ask. We have a new neighbor, the house right next to mine.
Nice. Congrats.
Saw a moving truck over the weekend and stuff there. I think they're renting the house next door. So, of course, you know, I spent all yesterday morning baking cookies so I could take over and introduce myself to the new neighbors. No, I didn't. And I don't generally introduce myself to neighbors. And I feel bad about that.
Shocked.
Like, I've lived in my same house for about 12, 13 years. I know the names of one of my neighbors who live kind of across the street and one house down because we took their kids to school for a couple of years. Am I a bad person that I don't go around and get to know my neighbors more?
Yes. Asked and answered.
Yes. I don't know anything about this new neighbor yet, other than that he seems to be an artist.
Oh.
Because he has a van that's now parked in his driveway. Big, you know, van without the windows in the back. And it has, like, his website for art on there.
Okay.
The van, though, is tie-dyed.
Yes.
It's very loud. Tie-dyed, colored.
Like a
van.
Like, loud-looking.
Loud-looking.
Loud-looking, okay.
Just parked right there on the street, which is... That shouldn't bother me, right? That someone has a tie-dyed van parked right next to my house. I mean, I'm not going to complain to the HOA or anything. I don't think he's doing anything wrong.
This is a good one. Doesn't
necessarily fit in with the rest of the neighborhood or look great. It's not like beat up. It's not like, you know, broken down. It's just a really loud, you know, rainbow-colored, painted, tie-dyed van. For an artist, it probably makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
They were unloading like some sculptures and stuff I saw when the moving van was there. So clearly, you know, it's an artist, and they have, you know, it's just very artsy. But now I've got this big van, like, that I see as I drive into my house every day? Is that
Listen, it's not like it's an old Camaro up on blocks right. in his front yard.
Right. It's not. Like, I get it. Yeah.
I think because it's a van and it's not, you know, like I said, on cinder blocks in the front yard.
Right.
I mean, we're really like, it's just what the guy drives.
Yeah, it's similar to that, except it's not a VW bus. It's an actual,
like a roadie.
Like an Econoline van?
Yeah, an Econoline type van.
I think it's kind of cool. Actually, I do. I think it's kind of cool.
I mean, if it pulled up to you and someone offered you candy out of it, run. I would run.
The groovy van. No, I don't. You know, listen. Dino says you're a snob. I don't think he's being a snob. I think.
A little bit. There's a little bit of that.
I was trying to defend you there. I'm kind of a live and let live guy.
I am too.
I really am.
I mean, if they're not making a lot of noise and
right.
haven't had any disturbances or anything, it could be a lot worse for neighbors. You could do a lot worse than an artist, you know, working on their art.
Bro, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. I like the majority of my neighbors I'm pretty close with. You know, we have a neighbor, Ron, who's like our biggest tier one. And every time I see him, Woodsy, I'm listening right now. He's the greatest. I bring him beer and stuff and give him t-shirts. He's the greatest. Our next door neighbors, I don't think like us very much. Our other neighbor, I've never seen her.
Okay.
Never. But across the street, yes. Jeff Garcia lives at the end of the road.
Right.
I see him all the time.
Former NFL quarterback Jeff Garcia.
We have friends that are in all through the neighborhood, which is great. We're really good friends with this little guy, Luca. We play ball with him. So it's a real tight community. I don't think it would bug me if somebody parked.
If you didn't have kids, would you know any of your neighbors?
Yeah, I would. I'm from Texas.
The only reason I know any of my neighbors is because of the kids. That's... Like, the kids were the same age, so right. that's how I ended up knowing, like, the one neighbors that I know.
Like, I have no idea. I couldn't give you one name of any family member in the house 5 feet to our right, like, right next door to us. No idea.
The scary thing is a lot of people, like, we have neighbors, the Geffens, that live behind us. They fully hear me screaming at my kids. Like, fully, like, the windows are open. They hear me lighting these kids up. Like, no question. So that's, you know, it's a little unnerving at times to, like, people that listen to you on the radio, but also hear you screaming at your kids, just laying into them for the dumb things that they do.
I mean, Peter says, would you prefer a meth lab next door? Well, obviously not.
No.
But then again, Walter White seemed like he was a pretty good neighbor. Like, you
until
know, kept
he wasn't.
His house up and until he wasn't. Seemed like, you know, it was decent, you know, took care of the yard and everything. Was, you know, was not a bad neighbor. Until the very end, when obviously he was.
My wife's she's a bit of a Karen in the neighborhood. She's a bit of, you know, this needs to change and that needs to change. And I'm just trying to get through the day, man. I'm trying to think of good content for the radio. Just trying to raise my kids right. Be a loving, supportive father and husband. That's really it. I don't worry about where people park and what they do and they put on their homes. Just never got to me.
We have a very enthusiastic neighborhood. I mean, there are Christmas lights 365 days a year strewn across our street.
Yeah.
People are very, like, Fridays, you know, there's usually kind of like a impromptu block party that goes on just like, you know, five or six houses down.
Yeah.
I've never really taken part, and I feel like it's too late to, like, all of a sudden show up with a six-pack and go, hey, my lawn chair and just sit out there with everybody after so many years.
I got an idea with the new
neighbor. I always say hi and I'm friendly when I go by.
Sure. Well, you work a lot. So,
I
mean, you know, it's not like you're sitting on your ass drinking beer in your front yard. I do think you should buy some of your new neighbor's art. That's one thing I think you should absolutely do. Ingratiate yourself. Buy a nice piece. You're redoing your house.
That's
you're
true.
Cleaning. Get yourself a nice piece of art.
Something I'll need to clean out in like 3 or 4 years.
I'm begging you to get the website off of it and bring it to me so that I can look at it.
I will get the website and we can look up some of the art.
Some of the art together, and we'll pick you out a nice piece.
Figure something. Something affordable, hopefully.
Christmas present.
Yeah, it could be your Christmas present. Get you a nice piece of art for your home.
Ray says, have him paint your car.
Yeah, the Tony says, Ben, you're a small town celebrity. They would love to see you out there and relate. That's the thing, though, Tony. You don't always, when you're home with your family, you don't always want to sit and chew the fat about the Padres. Like, Once I'm done, I really don't want to talk about it. That happens to me all the time. Hey, it's a tough one, huh? Yeah, that sucked. Yeah, what do you think they're going to do next year? I have no idea. I just want to go inside and make a sandwich.
I actually talked about it for 4 hours this morning. Here's the link. You can go get all my thoughts there.
It's like
I'll airdrop you the link. Here you go.
Ones. I got one this weekend. Oh, my God. He's probably listening. I think he's in England. His name's Paul. The game's on Friday night. And I'm watching the Dodgers game, and Flaherty's getting lit up. This bro just hit me stream of consciousness through on Twitter, DMs. And I wrote back, bro, I'm watching the game. I got it. And he's like, and it went for 3 hours, the course of the game. And I'm like, I got to ignore this. I just did this whole thing. I'm going to have to talk about this on Monday. Let me live, man. I just want to be with my family a little bit.
We're privileged to get to do this
of course.
Job, obviously. But that kind of means we have lots of neighbors.
Yeah.
Both physical and...
Online neighbors.
Neighbors.
They're not always great.
All the tier ones, you're kind of, in some ways, you live in our neighborhood with us all the time.
That's exactly right.
And we spend hours with you every day on our front porch.
This is the front porch.
Talking about the
Padres. We are sitting in chairs talking with our neighbors.
This is my front porch. This is where I sit... And chat with all of you.
Yeah.
I don't do it when I'm actually on my front porch.
No,
I'm sorry. I do it here. This is my front porch.
This is our front porch.
And you're welcome to my front porch.
Anytime
you want to join us.
Anytime. There's no question. We just, we love having you here. But then when we shut the door, door's closed. You're not coming inside. Yeah, my wife's, she's up in arms right now. They built that tremendously huge condo complex down the street. But the weird thing is
right by the golf course.
They all park in our neighborhood at the entrance.
The entrance, yeah.
Yeah, it's just jammed. And so I'm like, well, here's how my operation is this. Oh, wow, there's a lot more cars than usual. And I just go home and live my life.
Not her.
She's on Facebook pages.
You're just driving past the cars.
Correct.
And then you drive past them again on the way out.
Now, if they're parking in my driveway, yes, I have a problem with it. But they're not. They're
way the hell
down.
They're not parking in front of your house.
Right. So I'm like, what do you
Occasionally,
care?
Do you have to wait behind someone as they're pulling out?
Yes.
So
occasionally.
So 10 seconds of your life every couple of days.
Bro, she goes, I just got into it with somebody on Facebook. I go, can you stop? Stop. I go, stop. They're not going to change. Nothing's going to change. Don't be that. Karen.
I've never wanted to get into HOA politics.
Never.
You know, someone has to do it and be on the HOA, the board, and there has to be some rules and regulations because we live in a society.
Right.
You know, and I get that, but I don't want to be the one who has to do it.
Yeah.
There are people who are built for that.
It's not me. I'm not it either, man.
It's not me.
Yeah,
sounds
Drew
like
says,
Hannah could do that.
Though. Drew says, come try parking in North Park. Bro, I lived in North Park. You're right. It was... an S show. I mean, it was circling my own home for
I've had
hours.
So many friends over the years, like, oh, you should move to North Park. Oh, hey, we got a spot open. Move to North Park. I'm like, absolutely not, unless you guarantee me
parking
a driveway and it's mine and nobody else can have it.
It is
the only way I would do it.
Ooh, we got some HOA comments in the chat. HOA is the biggest scam. HOAs are evil. HOA is full of old. Fat white ladies who think they have power.
Hannah's very thin, but she's not on the HOA.
Someone needs to maintain the common areas. You know, we have like a park. They have to hire, you know, gardeners. I'm not going over and mowing our park for everybody. Someone has to do that.
God, I wish you would. What are you doing? Now you want to play golf? I'm on mowing duty.
raking today. I'm cleaning the community pool. I have to fish out all the, you know, add the chlorine. No, you hire someone to do that as an HOA.
What do
someone
HOA
has
people
to do that.
If you don't have a community pool, if you're not in like a, it's just a normal
police what you,
neighborhood.
They police what you have on your home. They police where you park your car. I can't park my own car in front of my own home.
Oh, I can't either.
I'm not allowed to.
No, me neither.
I'll get like a ticket.
Me too.
That's why people have negative connotation with HOAs.
But if everyone parked their cars in front of their houses, it would be chaos.
It would be chaos.
Now, I want to be able to do it every once in a while.
Correct. When I need to.
Yes. But I also know we can't all just do it willy-nilly. There has to be rules.
There need
place.
To be rules, and nobody wants to do it. So if you're on the HOA and you're listening, it doesn't necessarily make you a bad person. I get why it exists. But it is a bit of a scam. But I do think you should go introduce yourself to your new neighbor. You guys probably aren't going to be, but he's here. The good thing about him, if he's driving that van, and I don't want to judge a book by its cover, but he's probably not going to wear you out about the Panthers defense.
That's a good
point. You know, the Lakers, G League and stuff.
That's a good point.
It's just a guess.
Ben what would do you love do? That, actually.
Sports radio host.
Yeah.
No, I don't really listen to sports
and you're,
talk
and you're
radio.
Like, and what like, do you do? I'm an artist. All right, well, see you later.
Yeah.
Like, you don't appreciate art in any form.
Not really.
Not in music, not in art, not in literature, nothing.
While we joked, you and I, Woods, about, you know, oh, hey, so what do you think the Padres are going to do? Like, we just talked about it before. I don't want to talk about it now.
Right.
Ben would love that.
He would love
if Van Guy was a sports fan, he's like, so what do you think about the Lakers this season?
He's like, oh,
he'd
I
be
love
like,
it.
How much time you have?
I know, it's true.
Why don't I go for coffee?
Introduce yourself, though, and then just to like, in case there's anything, you know.
Well, just so I have something to report back on the show, yeah. I think, at this point. So yeah. If I see him when I get home, I'll go say.
Give me that. I want to see his art, too.
Say hello. We do share, like, a backyard fence as well. Our mm-hmm. dogs have chatted a little bit.
That's
in the
good.
Back, between the fence. So, all right. Well, thank you for that. Advice and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, with introduce the, yourself.
With the
you.
Artist with the tie dye van.
And please take a picture of the van.
I
for
will
us,
take
because I want to see it.
When I get home. It'll be parked there when I get home.
We'll give him a shout out. Give him some free advertising.
He hasn't moved it all weekend. That was a little worrisome. Like, okay, are you going back and forth with this van or is it just like
that's just for show? Just for show.
Just for show. All right, we'll come back. We've got John Sterling joining us at the bottom of the hour, counting on his Yankees to get the job done. Otherwise, the Dodgers are going to be World Series champions. That's coming up. First, quick check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. You've heard that expression, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And I believe the WNBA has gotten everything they have ever dreamed of. Record ratings, record interest in the sport. Superstars that are drawing more eyeballs than ever to women's basketball in a very compelling season that had people talking incessantly, I mean, in numbers that they've never done before, get to a championship series that goes the distance, goes overtime in the deciding game 5 yesterday. And I was flipping back and forth between the baseball and the football and the WNBA, kind of wanted to see how the season ended. And it ended like so many NBA seasons do as well, with an officiating controversy and a horrible call that probably decided the championship. I don't know how many people were watching. Woods, did
you texted,
see any of it?
We were texting last night at the group thread, and you said, hey, there's a really good ending, but I did not flip over. I was, I think Jesse Winker was up with the bases loaded, so I was like, oh, here I am. Having to root for Jesse Winker, which is not the coolest thing in the world.
Did he come through for you?
He did not.
He did not. Did he?
But I texted back. I was like, it really sucks rooting for Jesse Winker.
I said, yeah, here we are.
Now, the Mets are not a fun team really to cheer for.
No, I don't like a lot of I love Lindor, but
I had given up on the Mets many games ago, so I wasn't even that disappointed. I just figured the Yankees were the last and best chance, so I just figured let's fast forward to the World Series. But the Minnesota Lynx and New York Liberty went to the deciding game 5 at Barclays Center. Sold out crowd, you know, Spike Lee, celebrities, all in attendance. And interestingly, it's the Lynx who are the more of the juggernaut. They'd won 4 titles looking for their 5th. That would have been the most all time. Liberty, one of the original WNBA teams, had never won a championship before. So they're going for their first. Lynx jump out to the early lead. Liberty come back in the fourth quarter, take the lead. It's back and forth. And it comes down 60-58. Lynx have the lead. Liberty with the ball at the end. Last chance to, you know, tie it or take the lead. And they inbound the ball and the clock is ticking and they're running around. And I thought there was a clear missed traveling or maybe 2 that could have been called against Breonna Stewart that the referee swallowed their whistle as tend to do with star players in big moments. It's not that surprising. We see it in the NBA all the time. But they can't find a good shot. Finally, all right, we're just going to get it into our star, Breonna Stewart. Let her do something with it. And she forces up a pretty bad-looking shot around the free throw line and gets bailed out with a foul call.
Even though
the defender looked like pretty straight up, didn't really see any contact, didn't initiate any contact, the Lynx, they are upset. They have a timeout, so they challenge it. Just like the NBA, you can go to the video review. They go to the review, which shows pretty much the same thing. It's a call. It's a play that you see 100 times in a basketball game, and maybe once you get a whistle on it. It really wasn't a foul. but it also wasn't overturnable. They go, is what it is. We're upholding the foul call. Send Stewart to the line. She hits both the free throws, and they go to overtime, where the New York Liberty then step up defensively. And the Lynx, you know, they had their chance in overtime. They didn't make a single basket in OT. It was all about the defense, and the Liberty win. But the coach of the Minnesota Lynx, Cheryl Reeve, sounded kind of like an NBA coach after the game. We've heard it before from the NBA coaches. She had her moment in the post-game news conference.
Coach. I know all the headlines will be Reeve cries foul. Bring it on, right? Bring it on. Because it was stolen from us.
Whoa.
Bring it on.
Yeah. Man. I mean.
Spicy.
She's not wrong. She's not wrong. It's very possible that a correctly officiated game, the other team would have won the championship in the rings. And you know that's going to happen.
So who won?
The Liberty won.
The first one.
But the Lynx probably should have won their fifth one. And you know that's going to happen over the course of a basketball season, a football season, a baseball season. There will be missed calls. Some of them will decide games even, you know? And they're close. They could go either way. And it clearly, you have ball and strike calls. You have out and safe calls. You have foul calls. You have pass interference calls. And they decide games. Officials doing the best job that they can. It's just tough when it's a game five of a best of five series, and it's a two-point game at the end, and it's one of those that, do I call it? Do I not call it? And that really is the difference in the entire season to decide a championship based on a really questionable whistle that they gave the New York Liberty.
Yeah, you know, and I say this as somebody that has yelled at umpires and stuff his entire life. At the end of the day, when you go home and sit back about a game that you lost and you feel like it was on the umpire, what do you usually say? Well, we had a chance there in the sixth. Could have gotten a hit there. We didn't. Oh, we ran into an out. Our pitcher decided to walk the bases loaded. I mean,
yeah, and the Lynx did. They had chances earlier in the game to extend their lead. They had chances in overtime. They didn't get it done.
In that moment, though, all you can think about is it's on you, dude. It's not on us. We played our asses off, and you know, you called that ball and you called that strike, and it was clearly a ball. Is that the guy's eyes? It always comes back to we didn't execute well enough to win the game. You never want to leave it in their hands if possible, right? And oftentimes it does come down to that. And you know,
but did the Liberty execute better being down two at that point and needing a call to bail them out? Not really.
I know.
So, but hey, you know what? Congratulations, WNBA. People are talking about it just like they would in the NBA if it came down to that. All right, we're going to take a timeout. When we come back, Paulie had to actually physically call John Sterling and talk to him on the phone, but he did set up the legendary Yankees radio broadcaster as his team gets ready to face the Dodgers in the World Series. John Sterling, when we come back with Bennett Woods on 97.3 The Fan. The evil empire against the eviler empire.
The evilest.
Is that what we've got for a world? I was doing my show last night on Channel 10, our Sports Extra show, and I had my tease, and I said, the World Series matchup is set, Padres fans, and you're not going to like it.
Yeah, you're just not going to like it.
It's just, there's no way around it. It's not a pleasant matchup.
No, unless you're a fan of one of those teams.
For Padres fans.
It's not, and especially if you're a Padres fan, it's just not a pleasant matchup.
If you are a casual baseball fan.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I live in Cincinnati. I kind of follow the Reds. I sort of like baseball. I don't watch it a ton. This is a perfect World Series for you.
Yeah.
Their star power, big markets, tons of attention. People will be talking about it. Shohei Ohtani, certainly an interesting story, starting with the big gambling controversy to open the season all the way to the 50-50 club. Aaron Judge is a compelling, not a controversial guy, but certainly a larger than life, you know, home run type hitter. Yes, there are plenty of storylines for this World Series. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I can. We spend a lot of time, you know, here and talking Padres baseball, and Dodger fans are, they're something. They are something in our chat as we speak. So it's, I know very clearly who I would say I can guess who everyone on this show is rooting for. How much are you going to watch? All of it? You going to watch all of it? Paulie, you going to watch any of it? All of it? Some of it?
It'll be on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch, like, every pitch intently with the volume on, but it'll definitely be on second screen at the very least.
Yeah. I appreciate that Dodgers fans are here. I hate that they're just here, you know, to give a hard time to Padres fans necessarily. There's nothing wrong inherently with being a Dodgers fan.
No.
I'd like to think that we can do a fair-minded analysis of the Dodgers.
I think we have this postseason.
I think for the most part,
well,
we
just
have.
To be clear, because I mentioned it off the air to you guys, it's Padres-related pain that is keeping me slightly disinterested, certainly in the NLCS and I'm guessing in the World Series. It has nothing to do with the Dodgers. It's the fact that the Padres, in my opinion, and we talked about it last week, choked it away. I feel like the Padres absolutely had a team worthy of getting ready to go to New York this weekend for game one of the World Series. And had they choked two games to the Braves in the NLDS and the Braves won, like, I still would be bitter taste in my mouth. It has nothing to do with the Dodgers, honestly.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough pill to swallow. But, you know, for me, the worst day of the year is after game seven, you know, and eight. For it to start again, and you know, as much as I enjoy other sports, it's just nothing comes close for me. My greatest love is baseball outside of my family. So it's a hard one when it ends. I get very, very sad when the season ends. And I know who I'm rooting for. I'm rooting heavily against the Dodgers, man.
I mean, there are things the Dodgers do exceptionally well. Their plate discipline
Nasty.
And how they make opposing pitchers work all the way through their lineup. I know you can't really stand Max Muncy, just kind of as what he kind of seems to stand for or doesn't stand for as a player. But man, the guy's got a good eye at the plate. I mean, he will not swing at pitches out of the zone. It is tough to face the Dodgers lineup. It's very deep. It's a very challenging team to face. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I mean, both teams are really special. They're really, really special players. It's going to be fun to see the guys that step up, you know, and it's always the best part of the postseason, seeing who can, you know, who can. You've seen what Kike Hernandez has been able to do for the Dodgers. You've seen what, you know, Teoscar Hernandez, who didn't do anything until, you know, a couple big hits yesterday. Hey, I was watching that game yesterday and I go, man, if friggin' Manny Machado hits one off the wall that he thought was a homer and he got a single out of it, next guy grounds him to double play. No question. Karma does not seem to exist right now.
John Smoltz wanted it to exist.
Oh, he wanted it.
Oh, he was really hoping Teoscar Hernandez would pay dearly.
Oh yeah,
for Cadillac. He's not the only, out of the box.
He's not the only one. He's not the only one. I also wanted the next hitter to ground into a double play because that would have been fun for my narrative. But of course not. Tommy Edmund comes up. Rips one, you know, two-run score, and they get bailed out.
So. Dodgers did a really good job at the trade deadline. I thought the Padres won the trade deadline. But in hindsight, the guys that the Dodgers picked up, Flaherty, Kopech, and Edman,
pretty solid.
Turned out to be really important contributors. I know Flaherty struggled in his last start.
Oh, you're sick, man.
You know, they don't necessarily get to where they are without him.
Yep.
Kopech's been terrific.
He tried to cough it up. In the first inning. I mean, he was all over the place. He just could not capitalize.
And Edman obviously was the NLCS MVP. Although I would have given strong consideration to Blake Treinen, who has become he's always been a really good nasty relief pitcher when healthy, but he is at this time of the year since what? Like August, he's become completely unhittable. And that is a very good weapon for Dave Roberts to have in the postseason, knowing that there is so much movement on his pitches right now, it is practically unhittable. I mean, Padres couldn't touch him. Mets couldn't touch him. No one in the end of the regular season could touch Blake Treinen.
Yeah.
They've got a lot of weapons. How do the Yankees win this series? We will we'll discuss that. We're hopefully getting a call back from John Sterling here.
I'm nervous now.
As we've said, he does the old let it go to voicemail, and then he calls you back. So we're just kind of waiting on that. Get to that in a second. This segment of Ben and Woods brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings. Buffalo Wild Wings is football, and B-Dubs is kicking off football season with two limited-time sauces. Try their new Buffalo Bacon Sauce for bold notes of smoky bacon, or get the fan-favorite hot barbecue before it's gone. Try them at your local B-Dubs, or order now for takeout and delivery with Buffalo Wild Wings Go. More Ben and Woods coming up after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So I don't think there necessarily is a clear path to victory for the New York Yankees. Obviously, they can win. They've got really good players. They've been playing well lately. But I think to beat the Dodgers, You kind of have to do what the Mets did. You have to win the games in which, you know, they are not punting, but, you know, they don't have their strongest bullpen arms available. You have to win those games because when they have their strong bullpen arms going, that's really tough, especially the way the Dodgers have been scoring runs. You kind of need Giancarlo Stanton to stay as hot as he's been, which is going to be possible, but tough to do. He's been so hot. And you can't really have any let up from your other stars. And if they do all that, then yeah, the Yankees have a chance. If any of those things don't happen, then the Dodgers probably take this series in my mind. Do you agree, Woods?
I do. I think you know, there's a couple of X factors. Jazz Chisholm's got to get it going. He's got to hit.
That would help.
He's got to hit. Wells has got to get it going, the catcher for the Yankees as well.
If those guys got it going, and Gleyber Torres has done pretty
Gleyber's been really good. Top of the
then
order.
You could have a lineup that the depth would start to match what the Dodgers bring to the table.
Yeah, but what you know, the Dodgers are going to employ they're going to employ that bullpen, that nasty ass bullpen of theirs, and how do you match up with Juan Soto, then Aaron Judge, then Giancarlo Stanton, right? You've got Anthony Banda. You got potentially Alex Vesia being added back to the roster. Do any of those guys scare you if you're Juan Soto or Aaron Judge or Giancarlo Stanton? No, they don't. And Gleyber at the top is dirty. I think you don't mess around, man. You got to go Gleyber, Soto, Judge, Stanton. And stop messing around with Wells in the cleanup. 1 through 4, go get them. And then if Jazz and Verdugo and guys like that at the bottom, Rizzo, you know, they're going to have some lefties down there. Dodgers don't have a ton of lefties. So John Birdie, you know, is going to, like, they're going to need contributions from some of those guys at the bottom. But I think it's a pretty evenly matched thing, except for the bullpen. But again, you're going to have to use that bullpen so much. You just use them a ton. Well, not as much as you maybe should have if you're Dave Roberts. You're still going to have to use them a lot against the Yankees because you don't have starting pitching. I think the Yanks can take it, but I think the Dodgers are favored for a reason.
Yeah, and you know they have the home field advantage, which is not huge in baseball, but I do feel like Dodger Stadium, it doesn't play necessarily to the strength of the Yankees with their power hitters. Not the Judge. He's got power in every ballpark.
Can get it
out for sure, but it's harder to hit like those opposite field home runs at Dodger Stadium. Ball doesn't carry, especially in October as well. Yankee Stadium's a great place to play, so to me, you know, I would make the Dodgers minus like 140, 150 favorites. Not overwhelming favorites, but a solid favorite to win the series in my mind. I don't know what the actual numbers are.
Oh,
in terms of, didn't you,
or is that just for game one?
They're favorites in game one.
They're favorites in the series.
There are favorites in the series. Yeah, I think that's probably accurate.
It's wild for underdogs like that to be the favorites in the series. I'm blown away.
Minus 130 odds for the Dodgers to win the World Series, plus 108 for the Yankees.
Okay, pretty
game one.
I said like 140 and 150, but it's not quite as much. But I think that's a fair assessment of where it kind of falls in my mind at this point.
Did you get in touch with John Sterling?
I did. I might have woken him up.
Oh.
He woke up very under the weather.
Oh,
he did not
bummer.
Sound good.
Well, let's not make him jump.
And
out.
I said, don't even.
Don't sweat.
We'll do it another day.
Do it another day.
He gave me the, oh, that's right. I'm so sorry.
He's 80-something years old.
I'm like, I was like, you know what?
Don't worry about it.
Rest up. You're fine.
He's born in 1938. How old is he?
Wow.
Quickly.
86. Yeah, he's good.
Wow. Let him rest.
That's impressive, though. He sounds really good.
Sounds good.
On the air.
What to do now?
It's over. Yankees win. The Yankees win.
1989 through 2024. That dude's calling games. So good.
Can you imagine Ben and Woods
no.
at age 86 still sitting here talking to each other in the morning?
I can't imagine us.
That damn Ken Rosenthal, I swear to God.
I can't imagine us at 56 still sitting here.
38 years from now.
No way.
Still on the radio.
If I'm still working then, dude, I did something incredibly wrong. Incredibly.
What are you going to do when you retire?
I'm going to sit on my ass. I'm going to do
really
nothing. No. nothing.
I think John tried that for a couple of months. And you know what? It's not as fun as maybe you think it's going to be.
I think about it every day of my life. I'm just doing nothing.
You feel like you're the retiring type.
I am. I've been retired up here. Okay? So, yeah, I'm going to have no problem in retirement. My wife's going to have a problem with me in retirement. Play some golf. You know, gamble. Do the things I love to do. Just relax. I don't need to work. I don't need to work any longer. You know, I'm telling you, when it's over, it's over.
You like coming in here with us.
I do. I do. For now. I won't
for now.
Forever.
When is that going to stop? Why would it stop?
Just because you run out of stories, man. You know, you run out of stories.
There's always new stories. That's the beauty of stories.
I get bored easily with things. So,
Paulie, how are we going to keep him from getting bored with us?
You better entertain me.
I mean, what, seven years now, almost?
Balsamic Vinny says, you're going to retire by a hippie van. No, he's never going to retire. He's never, ever going to retire. I don't want to be the cautionary tale. I've told you guys. I don't want to be, you know, hey, guys, it's Woodsy. Let's talk some Padres at, you know, 70 years old. No interest in it. I want to do other things. I got other interests.
I don't know. I always thought people like Gerry Coleman, who talked baseball for their entire lives, was kind of cool.
It is for them.
It's a cool way to be.
Yeah, I'll still talk
something
to
morning radio to. And being the voice of a major league team.
It's a little different.
A little bit different.
It's a little different. 4 hours is hard. It's hard. It's daunting.
Well, I mean, it may evolve at some point. Sure. We may not always be on the mornings. We may not always be on the radio. We've got this community, though. I mean, Paulie was talking to us about trying to expand to TikTok at some point. Apparently, we need to get more TikTok followers.
Yeah, we need like 9,000
more. So we can start streaming live on TikTok. That could be the next thing for us.
Ben and Wood 69 on TikTok.
Is that really what it is? Yeah. Oh, it is. Yeah. Ben and Wood 69.
Well, I don't know what happened. 1 through 68 were all taken.
So.
All the other Ben and Woodses had already taken the first 68 TikTok handles.
Yeah.
That's why we just were randomly assigned the 69th TikTok handle by TikTok.
Yeah, there was a Seinfeld episode that summed it up. George and Jerry went in, and Jerry was just over it. Like, he had reached a point, and George comes in, and he starts complaining about something nonsensical that really is not that big a deal. And Jerry just puts his hands in his face like this. He just goes, that's it. I got to make some changes. He finally gets engaged. And that's how I feel sometimes, where I'm just like, all right, we're rolling. Like, let's keep it rolling. But I don't know, man. Like, maybe it's the end of the season where you're kind of sad. Then you did that story about what the UT said about the Padres payroll, and it feels a little daunting. Yeah, man. I really thought, honestly, you guys, just so you know, had we won the World Series, I was done. That was it for me. I was walking away. Just so you know, I was it.
Well,
I was going to go do something else.
That's kind of a silver lining. Now I'm kind of glad the Padres didn't win the World Series.
I told Hannah, I go, if they win the World Series, you know how hard it is for me to come in December and be like, all right, so what are we doing next year? I go, I may just call it. Go right out on a high note. I really want a high note at my career, at the end of my career.
All right. Well, so I want the Padres to get good, but not
not too that good. Ben's like, yes, they lost again.
Always on the verge, never quite there, just to keep Woods at the end of that rope.
The end of my rope.
Just coming back for another year. Oh, they're so close, Woods. You can't retire this year. I mean, they got so close this last year.
So funny.
Don't give up now.
I wouldn't have, but I told her, I go, you know how hard it's going to be to go in if they win a World Series?
Like, I mean, John Sterling's waited 15 years. He said, I can't miss
along
this
15.
One. I got to come back. There's a chance that they get this one this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Vinny says, a round table, the high note for you. Yeah. I'm out. This is my final round table. I walk away. Oh, man. Now, so I'm bummed that we don't get to talk to him, but I also don't want to make an 86-year-old man get on the phone if he doesn't feel well either.
That's probably good sound advice, sage advice.
What a sweet guy, dude. Sweet, sweet man. So did he come out of retirement? Like, did he say, I'd like to call the games? Did they say, do you want
to? I was going to ask him how it kind of worked.
Did they approach him or did he approach
them? Because he did. They gave him the TV on the field. They had his last game, like, early in the season.
Yeah, the TV.
Aaron Boone, like, hauled it out of the dugout.
No, it was like some random guys, like, bringing him out. It was like some players, like, dragging it out of the clubhouse. Oh, they asked him, Adam says, okay. Yeah, that's great. That's great. They said, come on back and do it. He said, sure, I'll do it. Probably, like, riding a bike for him.
It's kind of nice. You skip the whole grind of the season and just slide right in for the playoffs.
Yeah, it's great.
Now, whoever you replace, that's kind of not great
kind
for them.
Kind of a bummer for them, but...
You know, I had to do the whole year, and now the playoffs are here. And
you're out, bud.
This old guy's just coming in and you bumping have to, me back out.
You have to play the role. Of course.
Oh, it's
He's
an honor.
He's got to do it. It's an honor to concede to the great John Sterling.
Take my place. We'll come back. Paulie's got a Rindle report for us, including some San Diego State basketball news and more, all next year on 97.3 The Fan.